is back to the Where's Jeff podcast for this week. How's your week been, chaps?
Absolutely brilliant, Tez. It's fantastic. The Gunners are back!
Oh, why do we have to put up with this? Goodness gracious, Charlie Nicholas. 1-0.
A 1-0 victory. Everything's rosy in the Emirates Garden.
Oh, my goodness. Hey, how much did Arteta sound like Pep? Oh my goodness gracious. I thought you were Real Madrid and Barcelona rolled into one.
What about when he said the last 10 days has been the best day of his career? I thought, really? You've had some career, by the way.
Yeah, just on that point, I think we should just remind ourselves of what Charlie chose in the accumulator last week. And that was Arsenal minus one. So not really a very successful punt there, Charlie, was it?
No, it wasn't, Tiz. I was more in hope than using my, probably lack of knowledge. I thought I was nearly there when Smith throw went through in the last couple of minutes, but it wasn't to be. It was my first letdown of the Acca this season. So I've joined the official club of used to let me down. My apologies, everyone.
No problem at all. No problem at all. To be fair, Arsenal, you know, did dominate. They had a lot of shots in that game, and I thought it was pretty impressive to get 52% percentage of the play against Norwich. I thought that was, you know, really good.
Yeah, that's how things are brightening up. And
yeah, a lot to brag about.
Well, it wasn't, Tomo, but I tell you what was fascinating for me was when I watched it back again after match, and it was actually the crowd. The crowd stayed with the team most of the day because I thought first half was pretty average. Sure, they had a lot of the ball, but not possession that mattered. And they didn't really create many chances. But the crowd, under the last couple of managers, have went against them or against the board or the owners. I thought last weekend they stayed with the team pretty strongly. That's the strongest I've seen Arsenal support us for a while. So I don't know. I mean, there's big games to come. Burnley away next. But the signs were a little bit more promising. But
I'll tell you what,
it's only one game.
What did impress me about the crowd, Charlie, and this could only happen at football matches, but I loved it at the end when they started chanting, "We are staying up." I thought that was different class.
Yeah, that was Liverpool humour.
And that was, I didn't know you possessed, the Gunners possessed so much humour, except when he used to sing Sit Down Pinocchio to me.
Yeah,
and it was, those days are well gone. But no, fair enough, Charlie. And it is at the moment, isn't it, with Arsenal? You just don't know which way it's going to flip.
Yeah.
And they could quite easily, with it being 0-0, quite easily have flipped. But fair play to them. They got the results. And, you know, it was a massive, massive, huge victory, 1-0. So, well done.
Well done. Yes. Well done indeed.
Thank you.
Before we go on to the rest of the games, we spoke on last week's podcast that me and Charlie were up playing golf at Loch Lomond last week. Charlie, do you want to let the boys know what happened on that golf day, where your team finished?
Well, we didn't actually finish last, but by all accounts, because I was one of the few ex-Celtic men, I think that got a vote to put me in the dirt track. So we actually won. We actually won the little wooden prize or the wooden spoon, and it was plastic golf clubs. So I'm hoping to be a granddad soon. I know you two both are. So I've kept
Charlie.
The prize for a special event. But I tell you what, I was absolutely useless. But what a turnout, Tiz, wasn't it? Fergie was there, King Kenny was there. And I tell you what, the highlight of the day for me was Walter Smith making an appearance. It was lovely to see Walter make an appearance. And I think, you know, they raised about £250,000. So it was a great day, but no difference for me. I was absolutely useless.
The great thing was, Tomo, you'll be pleased to know that I did win a prize on the day. And it was probably the best ever prize I've ever won at a golf day. Seriously. I won the longest drive competition, right? Which is nothing much, really. But check this little beauty out, right? This is what I won.
No!
You don't even like that stuff. I do.
Champagne Charlie.
Just tip it a bit. Charlie's, I can see him, the saliva coming down the side of his mouth.
Tomo, he was teasing me at the bar after it. He was standing at the bar holding it. And I said, "You won't get that on the flight home tomorrow." Still wouldn't give me it. And then what does he go and order at the bar? Malibu.
Oh my goodness.
Honestly, best ever prize I won at a golf day. I was absolutely delighted. And I played like a dog as well. It's probably the only fairway I hit the whole way round.
Goodness gracious. You should have let a proper golfer take part.
No, that's true, Tomo. We'll give you a shout next time.
Yeah, but should we move on?
I think we should probably move on. But I think we'll probably start at the look back at the games. Are you surprised, Charlie, that Ronaldo got a brace on his debut? Did it really surprise you?
No, it didn't. And, you know, we had the debate, the three of us, last week, and I thought he had to start because I thought it was the perfect game for him to start. And I think the fact that he came back from the international duty early to get himself ready, to get the crowd up for it and ready. And it was no surprise. And I tell you what, the thing which I just came is that they seem to struggle a little bit. And then he doesn't get the superstar type goal that people were thinking he might get. It's the tap-ins. And that's what he's become. And I know a lot of people this week, and it will continue, how he's adapted his game. He is all about Ronaldo. He's all about getting goals. And if that's what they're going to get from him this season, then it doesn't matter what age you are. It doesn't matter whether you're 16 or 40. It makes no difference. No surprise that he took the star status, say, and he's given Manchester United hope. How far that hope goes, we'll have to wait and see, Tomo.
Charlie, I didn't think he would start. And you look at him. Also, I said that I didn't think that he's a centre-forward. And I was watching his movements in the early stages. And because Newcastle were defending so deep, he was coming back towards the ball. They didn't have a central figure, but he was just to get a touch of the ball. And every touch that he had, he was cheered to the rafters. Some of those touches were absolutely awful. And he was like that. And you just could feel. And isn't it wonderful that the superstar status that this guy has, he could still feel nervous. And it was wonderful. But you could see him ease into it. And, oh, my goodness, his movements off the ball, inside left position, only it took a touch off the defender's head and he'd have been in.
Absolutely. Now, I don't know, Tom, I don't want to pour water on the fire of Manchester United's fine win and Ronaldo's two goals at the weekend. But did you not think that there was still a vulnerability about Man United at the back?
Well, listen, I think there's always going to be that. Whatever you say about Fred and McTominay, they'll just sit there in front. We'd only have a Matic there. And Pogba is never going to be that second supporting cast to Matic as a holding midfield player, the way McTominay and Fred do. And they do have to move on from these two guys. But that's not enough. And there was vulnerability. And if Willock had to pull that ball back to Joe Linton, who'd have a tap in, I'd say it was quite lucky. But there was still a vulnerability. But I think the fans would all say this is more like Manchester United, all-out attack. Yeah. And our vulnerabilities, we might have them, but we will outscore teams.
Well, I wouldn't be sure about the Joe Linton tap in because he maybe a bit closer, if I'm being honest. But it's true. I mean, you can look at different things. He doesn't get any of those areas often enough for us to properly judge him. Tess, I'm just concerned what you're saying. I think is bang on. You know, I'm not so sure whether Man United, because we Pogba, and that they do have this defensive vulnerability, because the crowd now are so excited about Ronaldo, Greenwood getting goals, Rashford to come back, Bruno Fernandes, that I think they can actually elude their purpose sometimes. You can get them. Good size will hit them in the counter-attack now. So I really do. I mean, do you not think they're vulnerable even with Varane?
I do. In fact, I thought Varane for the Newcastle goal, I thought was an awful bit of defending. I don't know about you, Tomo, if you can picture the goal when St Maximum gets the ball. And he kind of commits himself really easily and allows that ball to be slipped down the side of him for Manquillo. I thought it was a pretty naive bit of defending, actually.
He doesn't get across there quick enough, because that's the only option that he's got. What you should have been doing quick was you thought it's a 2-on-1 situation. Where is the... So get across quick to try and cut that one out, to leave him coming more direct. De Gea would have more of a chance, and put him onto his left foot. Obviously, he doesn't, and he slips it down, and he's... You're quite right. He was vulnerable, but it was difficult how the ball was shifted quite. And I think just for a second, he thought that Sam Maximin had just overdone it on the ball. And he thought, I can get it.
Yeah,
and I think that's what done him. So he was slightly unlucky, but I get your drift.
Yeah, mm-hmm. yeah, but I think obviously Ronaldo got a couple of tap-ins by his standards. But I thought the goal of the game for me, although he was given the freedom of the city of Manchester to take his time and weigh things up, there will be questions about the defending, but there will be no questions about the quality of Fernandez's strike. Charlie, you must have enjoyed watching that one flying.
Yeah, no, I did. He's got that. We've seen that since he's joined Manchester United. We've seen it time and time again. I thought
absolutely.
I thought it was a goal of the weekend, and then Townsend pops up with an absolute belter last night, and he nearly scored another. But yeah, he's got that. That's the one thing since he's joined Manchester United. He does score, and you should know this as well as anybody else does. He does love a spectacular finish.
Absolutely.
Charlie, now, can I just say something like that? I'm listening to you, Charlie. And yes, it's a great strike and it's a wonder goal. But boys, as you said, Charlie, he's done it so often and he's done it before. And you're going, why does nobody close him down?
Close him down! Why
does, absolutely, because he does it. Townsend, which we'll probably come on to later, it's his left foot. We've seen him do that. And they allow him to bring it and have a free hit. And I'm going, and you're quite right, Fernandez has thrilled us all by some of his strikes. And it was absolutely terrific.
Goodness gracious. I think a shout out as well to Jesse Lingard, who I thought showed lovely feet in the box and a very tidy finish for the fourth goal as well. Two very, very good goals there. I think moving on to the first game of the weekend that kicked it all off for us, and the one which Tomo made the amateur mistake of an accumulator of putting his bet on the early game, so that the accumulator goes down even before the 3 o'clock kickoff start. I mean, it's just amateurish, Tomo. I'm not sure what you're thinking about there. But Crystal Palace, what a result for them. And I guess the red card probably had a pretty big influence on it. But I thought they were doing pretty well up until that point. Anyway, what do you reckon, Tomo?
Yeah, absolutely, Tiz. I'm with you. And it was a bit of a shock. And I'd gone for Spurs because I had a difficult time the week before. I thought, yeah, Spurs, top of the league, haven't conceded a goal. Yes, you probably go on the other side, is the due to concede, but not against Crystal Palace. And you're quite right, it wasn't a lucky escape. It wasn't sort of Tanganga getting sent off. He'd actually played very well up until then. This is the problem Vieira's got. Have they just raised the game for the big boys and then it's back down to where they have to do it more often? Zaha was back up.
Sorry, Tom. We'll touch on Palace. But see the Spurs, we mentioned top of the league last week and we still said they still looked vulnerable. That was a pretty ordinary looking back lot that Spurs had last week. Did you not think so?
Charlie, they were dreadful all round. None of them were sort of, if you want, none of them were at it. Positionally, they were all over the place. You know your players who you're playing up against. As we were talking about just before Fernandez, not one of them got it right. Tanganga, who we've thought is a good player and could be, he had an absolute shocker. And what he did, he totally deserved his both yellow cards. You couldn't get away from the fact why he goes diving in for the second one when you've got 2 minutes before you've actually had it. Well, you're quite right, Charlie. They were all over the place. And was it because this is a problem for Nuno Espirito Santo? Is now you're seeing some of your players, how they're going to react. These lesser games, they're not up for it. The concentration level is not good enough. And they were found out and big time. Yes, they went down to 10, but they capitulated. And that's Mayer's comment.
I've got to be honest with you, Tomo. When I was watching the game and I first saw the ball get smacked across, maybe 3 or 4 yards away from Ben Davis and the penalty was given, my initial reaction was, wow, he hasn't had time to move his hand from there. And I really felt like, at first viewing, that Ben Davis was harshly done. And then I saw the replay. I don't know about you, but I think the replay, I think, was absolutely spot on in the end. And his hand was out there and blocking and not in a particularly natural position. So I thought it was right decision, don't you?
Yeah, and I think where it is, and what you've got to understand is this is a goal scoring opportunity as well. Because once that goes past Ben Davis, that is a goal scoring chance for Palace, because the ball would fly past him. So the arm is away from his body, and I think he got it spot on. I must admit.
I don't know if the fact that it was a goal scoring opportunity is relevant in the argument, to be honest, because I think if his hand is right by his side and it smacks him, I don't think they give a penalty, but I just think it was the fact that it was kind of out and quite a way away from his body and making his frame bigger. Yeah.
It was glaringly out, and he was exposed by what a start for Eduardo.
I was going to mention Edward in a minute, Chaz, but I'm just going to say two sentences here, right, that I never thought I'd ever say when I was talking about football. First one, didn't John Moss handle the situation with Zaha and Tanganga very well? I thought it was a good bit of refereeing, the first incident, where he was very calm, you know, waiting for everything to settle down, and I thought he dealt with the situation very well. Good bit of refereeing. And the second one was, did Spurs miss Eric Dier when he went off injured?
Stop being facetious, Tiz.
Yeah, stop being like that. I mean, that should praise Mike Dean this season. Now you're going to John Moss. I've never seen John Moss stay up with a play. He was about 20 yards behind.
Where's Jeff when you need him? Oh, my God.
I know, that's
Jeff.
His mate.
Oh, he hated John Moss, didn't he?
Absolutely questioned his weight. Jeff Stelling questioning another person's weight, and he was a referee. You're right, Tiz. Fair play to him.
Absolutely.
Brilliantly.
And yours, that was good.
And Chaz, Edward, two goals coming on the sub. And I think I'm right, if I heard correctly. The quickest goal ever in the Premier League by a debutant.
Oh, is that right? Well, it wouldn't be a surprise. I mean, it was quite a remarkable start. Quite a remarkable start. Got a little bit of good fortune in a deflection. But French Eddie, as he was known in Glasgow, and we touched on him last week, he's got ability. He likes to link up play. And I have to be fair to Benteke. I actually thought Benteke put himself about quite well for Palace against Spurs, although Spurs were bad at the back. But what a dream start from to get there. Bit of pressure. They didn't force him into the team straight away, which I thought was pretty clever from Patrick Vieira. And I thought they looked outstanding. But what a momentum builder for Edward and for Crystal Palace. They might finally think they've got a consistent goal scorer. But he's skillful and he'll entertain.
Absolutely.
It's interesting, Charlie, because they've been searching for somebody like that. Yeah. You know, they brought in Ayew. They thought he'd be an upgrade from Benteke. Still not happened. They've shoehorned the both of them into the side. But how does Edward get in there? You'd have to looking at it. If you boys are goal scorers, if you have that knack, I don't care how you play, or you can always, you'll be there, Johnny on the spot, and you can turn chances into goals better than anybody. And I don't think Benteke's got that in his locker. Ayew's not. Nope. So Edward, for me, has to play this weekend.
Yeah, fair point, Tomo. Fair point. Now, moving on to some of the other 3 o'clock kickoffs. I think all three of us last week thought that Brentford and Brighton might end in a draw. And we were very close to that prediction coming true until Leandro Trossard decided to pop up in the 90th minute with a winner. And Brighton sitting pretty at the top of the league after a decent start.
Yeah, but they were lucky, Tiz. They were lucky in fairness. Bueno, is it?
Bueno, yeah.
He's had chances to wrap up the game, in fairness to Brentford. And they'd probably not go through that again. I actually thought Brighton were quite poor. Scored a really good goal, Trossard, but I thought they got away with it. I know he was there afterwards and he was saying, oh, yeah, we've done very well and, you know, it was a tough game. But to me, I thought Brentford were unlucky if they'd have took the chances.
So in the words of our old friend Paul Merson, it was a snatch and grab. Charlie, we all thought that Leicester against Man City would be a very good game of football, and I don't think it disappointed on the quality of the football involved. It looked like a very enjoyable, entertaining game to me. Must have enjoyed watching the highlights of that one.
Well, it disappointed me a bit in terms of Leicester. I thought Leicester would have shown a little, and they had little spells in the game where we touched on it again last week, guys. You know, if Man City don't score first 20, 25 minutes, the other team get hope. And somebody like Leicester, who's had a couple of good results against them. And I know Tom touched on Leicester defensively have been struggling, and they have been. But they did. It was Desperado defending at times last week. And Bernardo Silva, I thought he was out the door to Man City. Mm-hmm. Lovely, cool finish. Clinical finish. I thought Man City more than deserved to win, if I'm being fair. But, yeah, two really good footballing sides. I expect Leicester to start picking up again, though.
Tomo, you must have been impressed with some of the last-ditch defending by Leicester. And I thought there was some excellent commitment shown by the Leicester back four. Well, there, throwing the bodies in front of everything.
I think that's more to the point. Is it was desperate. There was just bodies thrown about it. Whether that's good defending or not, whether you guys think of it, I did think it was desperate at times. Yeah. There was so many bodies in front of Manchester City players. At least they did their best to keep everything out and to do it. But I'd just like to digress on this. What about the bench for Manchester City? Oh my goodness. Yeah, I had Foden, Mahrez, De Bruyne. Oh, Sterling. My goodness, Sterling. You're incredible. Going, that's why they'll win the League Cup, the Carabao Cup, and possibly the FA Cup for the next
World
10
Cup,
years with these.
The Euros, everything.
With having these squads.
these players can't sit there forever, Tom. I know he likes to chop and change, but, you know, sometimes he chops and change too much and he leaves these guys on the bench. And he got away with one last week because they deserve to win. But Jesus and Torres at the moment, they don't carry enough for me. And this lack of the number nine still gives me a question mark beside what Pep's left with. The fact that he went for Harry Kane tells you that there could have been another one of them left on the bench if he got his number nine. But he didn't get it. And that's why the defence is going to be a major player for Man City this season.
Lovely. Right, you boys have spoken for far too long. We've got to take a break now. We'll come back and review the rest of the fixtures from the weekend and take a look ahead to the key fixtures coming up in the Premier League in the second half of... Where's Jeff? Welcome back to part two of Where's Jeff? Now, Tomo, it was a magnificent result on the weekend for your team.
Cheers. Yeah.
For your team on Monday night. Magnificent they were. 1-0 down.
Got
a change of formation for Rafa. And the Blues came back to win 3-1. What a performance. You must have been so impressed with that.
Yeah, that'll be right. Oh, my. Did you watch it? Did you watch that first half performance?
I love that Goodison sign is brilliant when he win, isn't it?
Shut up,
and the
Nicholas.
Atmosphere in the crowd.
He asked, me,
the
you
people's
blue.
Team.
Shut up. he went from the shocking to the sublime, which the second half, oh my goodness, how'd it turn around? You're quite right, it was Rafa tinkling with the setup and changing the three at the back, which I think done it. And you see him, he doesn't do it with any fuss. And not too many people thought he'd have took Godfrey off out of that back three. And he took him off. So he's obviously seen something to have a bit more balance. Lo and behold, it changed so quickly as well that it turned the tables on Burnley. They did disappoint me in the second half, the way they went to pieces.
I mean, they must have been disappointed, the Everton fans, Tom. They only had 6 minutes between going 1-0 down, and so they only had 6 minutes to rant on social media before the equaliser went in.
Yeah, Rafa was out for 7 minutes. But it was a start, and what good goals as well. Even the header from Keane against his old club. Wasn't it nice to see him celebrate?
Absolutely.
Because it was his old club.
Goal's a goal.
And wow, what a goal from Townsend. I'll come back to it. Why you allow him to get it on? Well, why did can somebody explain to me why Pope actually dived? he must have been 10 yards away from it.
Oh, he's right. Yeah. I tell you, I have to mention Gray also. I mean, I've watched this lad, I think we've all watched him for years and never really produced. All of a sudden, Rafa seems to be getting a turn out of him. I don't know if he's suddenly realised that this is maybe his last chance at this type of level. But the run through the middle, you know I love midfield runners, but he's run through the middle.
I haven't heard that for ages, Charlie.
Yeah, I know, mate, I know. Well, Terry Mack, your old pal last week, he just flagged up my head again. I thought midfield runners and also the cool finish, but he's getting a turn out of him. He's getting a turn out of Townsend. although Burnley were awful. I just hope Burnley are this are bad this Saturday.
Right, let's move on, Chiz.
We've got a couple more games to just cover off before we look towards next week's fixtures. Tomo, we will talk about your team now, and there's only one place to start in that game, really. What did you make of the challenge from Struyck on Harvey Elliott? And did you think it was worthy of a red card?
Do you know what? Everybody's been all over this, and you look what constitutes a red card. It's reckless, it's dangerous, it's all these things. Possibly the only one you could look at it is tackle and endangered the player, but I honestly don't think there was enough in it. I'd have thought if you'd have got a yellow card because he's tackling from behind, I'd have thought that'd be, and I'm not trying to belittle the injury to Harvey because it's absolutely sort of devastating for the young man. He's such a talent and he's been great for us. But you look at it, and how would I like to view it if my team was on the receiving end? And that is how I would have to give my honest opinion to that situation. I felt for the, as much as for heart, I felt for the Leeds lad. You know, he certainly didn't intend anywhere near to injure Harvey. But I don't know, what did you lads make?
Yeah, I'm the same as Tom. I thought it was a really harsh red. I don't think there was any intent there. I think it was a freak accident. And you just feel for Harvey because he's, you know, just got himself into the team, having a real impact, and a big shame for him. But he is young and he'll come back, and he'll come back stronger and bigger and better. And this boy's got a big future ahead of him. He's just got to be patient for a few months.
Yeah, what do you make, Charlie? Because Charlie, you come back from a broken leg, didn't you, pal? So, you know,
same age.
Yeah,
same age, Tomo. And you know, mine was an accident also. The guy wasn't being overly malicious. He was so determined to try and rescue the ball. But I feel for him. But the one thing is, well, yeah, I snapped my shin bone and it was a spiral break, and it was a clean break. The dislocation is the only problem because you've got to fiddle about with it a little bit. But as you know well, Tom, I mean, back in the day when I broke my leg, it was a plaster on, there was no pins, there was no screws, and you just had to go to the one physio. Now the fitness gurus that are there and the help and the aid and the doctor's advice and fitness gurus and all that, they will get this lad right. I was chuffed to bits, although it was painful to see the lad. But the fact that he was waving when he was going off on the stretcher, and more importantly, the response from both sets of fans, I thought was fabulous. And this young lad will be back. He'll be back. It'll give him time, but he will be back. And he looked the real deal when he was in the team.
Do you know what? One of the really, really nice the comments that has come out from Harvey, and he's sort of forgiven Struyck, I think his name is, and saying he didn't mean it. And he himself said, I didn't think it shouldn't have been a red card, which I thought, fair play to the young man. He could just leave it and let everybody else discuss it.
Very good.
But he got himself involved, and because even though obviously Struyck could have been, you know, it'd be awful for him thinking that he's injured poor Harvey, but fair play to them.
Absolutely. Well, we had the only nil-nil of the weekend was my boys. Fairly uneventful. Rose, a couple of late chances. Antonio Red, I don't think there was any doubt about that. A bit silly from Antonio, I thought, in the last minute. And then you had Wolves with their first win of the season, 2-0 at Watford, which just happened to be my pick for the accumulator. So you two boys both let me down last week. And I still haven't had a loser this season so far, so I'm quite pleased with that. Two wins and a draw.
No, well done, Tiz.
Thanks very much.
In fact,
you're very kind. And lastly, Chelsea against Aston Villa, which when you look at the scoreline, you would think, oh, that's a comfortable home 3-0 victory for Chelsea. Wasn't really that way, was it, Tomo? Aston Villa had a lot of the play and a lot of attempts at goal.
Oh my goodness. Have you seen the stats on it? Did you watch it on the TV? It was, and Dean Smith, come on. And he is as Dean is. He's trying to be quite positive for his own team. But obviously, we've been beaten 3-0. So I can't be saying how well we've actually played. But they did. They're playing away at Chelsea. And dare I say it, some of the defending from Tyrone Mings, an international player, was absolutely shocking. Really, the back pass, even the one where Azpilicueta goes past him as though he's not there, was absolutely outrageous. So Dean Smith can be happy about his boys. I thought they were fantastic. They were at 1-0. They were still well within that game. So fair play to him. I thought Villa were absolutely terrific.
Absolutely. But another good weekend and action-packed weekend of Premier League football. And it whets the appetite for this weekend, which starts on Friday night this week. And we're going to start with that game because that is one of the boys' pick in this week's accumulator. So, Newcastle against Leeds. Philip Thompson.
Yeah.
Is this your pick?
No.
Or is this Charlie's pick?
I wouldn't go anywhere near this one.
What?
Would not go anywhere near this one.
So is that Tomo's pick then?
No, mine's Wolves.
Oh, Charlie, was you not Leeds?
No, I was Leicester.
Yeah,
it was you.
I remember us. Is it you?
No!
It's you.
That's my pick. Oh, my God. Do you know what? I only picked it about an hour ago as well.
Have you been on that champagne?
There's none left. There's none left. So anyway, Friday night is my pick in the accumulator this week. You can just edit that bit out. Thank you very much. Cheers, Harry.
Oh, my goodness.
I've gone for Leeds United at a very reasonable odds of about 5-4, I think you can get. And given how Newcastle have been this season, I'm pretty confident in my selection. Any of you two disagree with that? I'm guessing you do, by the way you reacted when I asked if it was your choice.
Well, I was expecting you to disagree with yourself, but since you don't know who you picked.
Oh, I'm sorry. This is awful, but good.
It's a good job we can edit
so
this stuff out.
Honestly, Tiz, I was thinking, who's got this wrong? I didn't do it. I don't think Charlie did either. Oh, my goodness. But anyway, talking about the game, you look at Newcastle and how porous they can be, even with five at the back, it doesn't work for them. But are Leeds capable? And what I've seen against Liverpool, my boys were fantastic, by the way, which we didn't talk about before. But I just thought they were a bit toothless up front. You know, it didn't really happen for them, for Leeds. So I am a little bit surprised you've got... I was looking at this to draw, Tiz, and that's why I didn't want to go near it.
Fair enough.
I can't probably see this a 1-1 draw.
Yeah, I mean, I can see why you're saying that, Tomo, but you said the same about my Wolves prediction at Watford last week. You said that was going to be a draw, so I'm quite happy that you've said that again because it means I'll win. the second selection starts on the Saturday lunchtime kickoff, Wolves against Brentford. Now, I've picked... Oh, no. Which one of you two have picked Wolves and justify your selection?
Myself, I've gone for Wolves. Listen, I watched that game again against Watford and I can't believe how many chances this team misses. And it does and it has to happen. It came... I know there was an unfortunate own goal for them and it was... who was it? There was a drive from Hwang. Was it 30 yards? No, 30 inches out. He trickled it over the line. But listen, guys, I think this side Wolves, there is a lot more weight in there. And I do feel there's goals going to be coming. Whether it's Traore, whether it's Jimenez, Podence, I just feel that it is coming at the moment. And that's why...
They did make a lot of chances, Tom. I'll give you that. I thought they did make some chances last weekend. And Brentford look as if they're unsure of themselves again. They just go behind and then suddenly you can see them all looking at each other and thinking, well, what are we going to do? Who's going to get hold of the ball? No plan B, if you like. Don't change anything when they go away from home. But yeah, I would be slightly edging towards Wolves, yeah.
It's incredible, isn't it, when you go to a new club, just how things can turn out. Because Hwang, last season at RB Leipzig, I don't know if you boys know, I covered the Bundesliga a little bit last season. This boy started 3 games for RB Leipzig last season, came on as a sub 15 times. Do you think he could score in any of those appearances? He makes one substitute appearance for Wolves and he gets a tap in for 12 inches. Can't believe his luck. Brilliant stuff.
They all count, mate. You know that. Yeah, they all count.
Tis, you haven't really told us that you covered the Bundesliga.
Have I not, Tomo?
No,
only every
You're
week.
You're starting to sound like McInally now.
I'm just excited that I get to see a different league. I just spent so many years obsessing about the Premier League. It's just nice to widen my horizons.
Yeah, you do sound like Munch and McInally.
Okay, Charlie, that leaves us with your selection for this weekend's fixtures. And you have gone for an away win on Saturday. And Sunday at 2 o'clock, I think your kickoff is.
Yep, that's correct.
Brighton against Leicester. Tell us who you've gone for and why.
I've gone for Leicester, guys, because I didn't think they played badly against Man City. I think so far they've looked decent. Still a little bit unsure whether Maddison is up to speed, but we know he's good qualities. I just think that Brendan's pretty good at keeping calm in these situations. I did think, and I thought Tomo was right last week, the defence has been poor and struggling, but it looked, a little bit desperate at times. But I think Brighton play a nice, open, attractive game of football, we know that, and I think it will suit Leicester. I think with Vardy's pace and the passing ability that they do possess, I would expect Leicester to win out winners here, and I'm pretty confident this weekend that Leicester won't let me down.
Fair enough. Well, that's the ACCA for this week. That is Wolves to beat Brentford, Leicester to beat Brighton, and Leeds to beat Newcastle. And I think I'm right in saying if you had a little £10 bet on that, your returns from that would be £115.
£105. Wow.
It's a nice little return, but... as you know now with our accumulator, if you do put £10 on a bet, you are likely to lose that £10. And that's just the way it goes. Gamble responsibly. Let's take a look at some of the more attractive fixtures coming up this weekend. And Sunday looks like you've got the Brighton
West Ham
game
United.
You've got West Ham Man United at 2 o'clock, followed by the big game of the weekend, Spurs against Chelsea. West Ham Man United, Tomo. Do you think West Ham are good enough to give Man United a game?
At this moment, they'll give them a game. Are they good enough to get a victory? I'm not quite sure. Because West Ham do like to counter. They do like to sort of... But Manchester United also, they like to get bodies behind the ball, sometimes not successfully, as we've seen against Newcastle. But I do think the Ronaldo effect, the way the sort of... they are sort of together at this moment. I just think they're going to have too much for them. If West Ham do step out, I can see Ronaldo, Fernandes. I just think see them making hay. Sancho's not really done it yet. I think that is a big thing for Manchester United. He's not up to speed yet. I don't think he's utilised because teams back off him and he's just not picking the right pass or the right time to go past somebody. You feel as though it's maybe coming because a few murmurings from Manchester United fans that he's not really done it as yet.
Well, I take it Antonio's out, is he? As long as this is.
Yes, that was going to be my question to you, Chaz. My question to you was going to be given that the lack of other centre forward options at West Ham, how annoyed on a scale of 1 to 10 do you think David Moyes will be at that stupid challenge in the 95th minute down at St Mary's?
Well, I think he'll be furious, but have you seen him when Antonio was coming off? He gave him the little pat in the back as if, you know, you've started the season well, but you've now let me down. But then he had the reality check, didn't he? That he went onto the bus and then probably went, oh my goodness, it's my old club Man United next. And obviously they're in Europe this week, West Ham, so I'm Man U, but I just don't see they've got the up. I think what they'll do is they'll play like an away game. They'll sit in, they'll block off whatever space they can do, and then it'll be counter-attack. I've been a little bit disappointed in Bowen this season so far. I thought he's done really, really well at West Ham since he got there. Not really seen him being so much of an influence so far. Need a little bit more from the midfield. But overall, I would expect Man United to probably win this, but it'll be tight.
Yeah, I actually was seriously considering Man United, who I thought were decent odds, actually, given that West Ham don't have an out-and-out centre-forward. I think United will be too strong for them. Only just, Mike, because they are very well organised, as we know with David Moyes' teams. You know, they do know how to get organised and make it difficult for teams to beat them. But the big game, I think, on Sunday, the 4:30, is the Spurs versus Chelsea game. Charlie, have Spurs got enough to stop Chelsea given their start to the season?
If Son is still injured, I would say no, they lack options. Because I think the beauty of when Spurs believe in themselves, and Kane's now adjusting to being to staying there, the pace and the options that Son gives them to go in behind people, coming off the wide flank and going through where Harry Kane leaves space, is a tremendous bit of variety and option that midfield players like. If you can find that pass, then you take advantage of it. If he's not there, I find that they don't have that issue. And Dele Alli, when he's playing, is still not playing, making those diagonal runs he did when he first came into the Spurs side. And that means they play in front of Chelsea, and that suits them. And I just think so far, I compliment Everton. Liverpool were wonderful at the weekend. Man City are picked up. And of course, Man United talk. But Chelsea looked the real deal for me. The balance looks right. You look at their bench at the weekend, that was a pretty strong bench that they had. And Lukaku, straight in the groove, looking trim, looking really hungry for goals and prepared to take people on. I fancy Chelsea strongly here, because if this Spurs defence plays the way that Tomo said they played at Crystal Palace, Chelsea have got goals in them.
But Charlie, yeah, you're quite right, Charlie. The defence, when you think Tanganga got sent off, so he's not going to be available. Then you've got Dyer, who was injured, came off early. He's, I wouldn't think, would be available. It'd be miraculous if he is. So the shorter defenders anyway. And I think against this Chelsea side, I see enough in them. And I know Villa played very well. They weren't probably at the best, but they still now find a way, this Chelsea team. He can mix it up. He can go three at the back, four in the middle, three up front. He can go four at the back. I like the way Tuchel changes his team. I just think they're going to have far. I worry for Spurs. With having those two defenders missing, I do worry how they're going to shape up, what they're going to do. And I do fancy a comfortable Chelsea victory.
Yeah, I mean, I'd have to agree with you boys. I do see a win for Chelsea in this one. The other fixtures that are left, Charlie, your boys going to Burnley. Now, that's never a great place for them to go. Always going to be tough. Do you still think they'll take 3 points from that?
I do, Tiz. They always give us problems, but funny enough, we always end up usually winning when we go to Turf Moor because
late
we have
goals
to overcome. Yeah, and there's quite a few periods of times that we've actually got lucky. Way back, because Chelney, I remember getting a handball and tapping it in, and yeah, we seem to get a little break or two when we go to Burnley. I don't know, I think this team at the moment, with Burnley just been a little bit unsure, you know they're going to go quite long. When they get the opportunity, they'll go pretty direct. They'll try and upset Arsenal. I just feel that Arsenal, with the counter-attack and the pace that we have when we get the ball, will be beneficial. And we normally get a win there. It's usually about 1-0 or 2-1, but I see us getting the 3 points again.
Charlie, you're sounding so confident. Why didn't you go to them in the Acca?
I'm not. Believe me, I'm not.
Charlie, I totally get you, and I can say I just don't. I think this has got a draw written all over it.
Brilliant.
I think
I'm delighted
Burnley,
you said that.
I've had such a difficult time. I really think they're playing at home. They will come up trumps. They will roll the sleeves up. They will ruffle Arsenal up. And one thing that they don't like the centre-backs is with Barnes, if Rodriguez plays, what would? And they can't frighten the best out of anybody. I do think this is a draw all over. Sorry, pal.
Fair enough.
No problem. Yeah, no, I'd have to agree with you on that one, Tom. I did that. I'm not doing that again.
You did that last week.
I know. I'm not going to say it.
You'll learn.
Tomo, your boys home to Palace, regulation, do you think? Or do you think that win last week for Palace might just make them a bit more of a difficult proposition?
Yeah, which is, I quite like that, is because like if they'd have still been on a hard time, Palace sometimes come to Anfield. I think before we had that massive hiccup with the home games last year, losing 0-6, I think that the team that we last beat was Palace at Anfield. And Zahar always turns up. He always enjoys the crowd, the stick he gets. he plays, he's always played ever so well at Anfield. Benteke coming back to Liverpool. But you can have all these effects. I think if Liverpool play half as well as they did against Leeds, this will be a comfortable victory for Liverpool.
Yeah, can't argue with that. My boys are at Man City next week. Wow. So, so moving on to Norwich against Watford. let's not dwell on that.
Where, Tiz, quickly, while your team, and you have to talk about your team, where is it going wrong? Besides the 11 positions,
where do you feel
things are just not clicking to get the results what you need?
To be honest with you, we've played four games this season. We've lost one.
Yeah.
And to be honest, if you'd have said to me after four games, your team will have 3 points, I would probably have bitten your hand off.
No, what you really meant was after five games, you'll have 3 points.
Well, yeah, I don't want to say that.
Charlie Nicholas.
Well, that's just rude. That's just rude. That's really disrespectful to my team, Charlie Nicholas. And yeah, I'm not looking forward to, as every season, I do not look forward to my team going to play at Man City. But we have given them a couple of scares down the years, and hopefully we can do that again tomorrow. Norwich against Watford, proper six-pointer. I mean, this is Norwich's second six-pointer in consecutive weekends. How do you see this one going, Chaz?
I think these are the type of games, though, that Norwich must go after. I don't think they played badly at Arsenal, but they must have thought they could have had a bit more of a go of them, and being fair to them. But at home, I think he's still the type of manager. Has he learned a great deal from two seasons ago when they were up in the Premier League? Probably not, because you can't change things dramatically. What surprised me a little bit is that Cantwell has been left in the bench, and I always thought that he would more a good operator when he was round about Pukki. I know Buendia, who went to Villa, the three of them were the kind of little creative, or the two creative, and then Pukki the finisher. I've got a feeling for Norwich in this one. I think they'll go after it. And I just looked at the vulnerability of Watford last week. They are big and physically strong, but I didn't see a great response from them on the ball or with the ball. And for that, I'm going to go for the Canaries to win.
Charlie, I'll tell you, they'll be happy to hear that, Charlie, but I can't. I think, particularly the second half against Arsenal, they were all over the place. And I don't just mean they were fragile because things have not gone right. Quite early in the season, they're losing confidence, they're losing belief. And they were all up, players were dropping off because they were frightened. Other players were pushing up at the same time. I just think they're in a hole. Yes, they need a result to get out of it. But I think with the likes of Sarr, with his pace, if they do push up and they go for it, they could get hit again. And I actually just fancy Watford for this one. I really do. I can't see Norwich picking up points at the minute.
Fair enough. I'm going to disagree with both of you. I think he's got a draw written all over it. And the final
game... You're not agreeing
game,
with me, Tez?
No, not this time. The final game, Tomo, is your second team who go to play against Aston Villa at the weekend. That's got the makings of a decent game, isn't it?
Oh, absolutely. And I think Dean Smith will have been telling his side how well he done. How sort of there's nothing really to sort of feel bad about, to reproach about. Let's get out there and let's do it. We're playing at home. The fans, well, I can't remember the last game that they had at Villa Park, but they were incredible. Fans have been wonderful in most games, I know, but this will be big. It's a test against Everton, whose tails will be up. But I do, I'm going at the other one. I fancy a draw in this one.
Oh, another draw. I've got a feeling for Villa. I mean, Everton have responded well, but it was a quick response and Burnley cracked on Monday night. But I think Villa made enough opportunities going forward. Ollie Watkins coming back into the team. I thought he looked really sharp. Yeah. I thought his movement was excellent. If McGinn can get closer to them and they keep that supply coming, I think Villa will be all right. Yes, very, very unsure at the back. Mings and that must do a lot better. But I think Martinez is back to play in goal this week, and I think he'll make a big difference.
And that Buendia, the one that you said before, Charlie, I think he's got a chance as well. Buendia.
Yeah, I think as long as...
Buendia.
You were like me.
I've got issues, you know.
Now, I think I'd have to agree with Charlie. I think as long as Aston Villa didn't lose too much confidence going down 3-0 after playing all right, I think they could trouble Everton in this one. So what have you boys got coming up this week? Anything to look forward to this weekend? Apart from watching loads of football?
Well, I've got my charity golf day.
Where's
Thursday,
the invite?
All day. Your invite's still in the post.
My charity,
Nugent Care. Really looking forward to it. The weather looking as though it's going to hold up here. And it'll be a great day, no doubt.
Wonderful. Chaz, what you got coming up?
Well, this weekend, I'm actually quite keen to go to a live game. Celtic are actually away on the Sunday, so I won't go to that. My nephew actually plays in for Bo'ness United. We used to call them junior teams up here, but it's a kind of lowland league.
Yep.
So I'm quite keen, but I don't know if he's playing at home yet or not. So if that's the case,
Charlie, I could get you some tickets for Rangers if you fancy it.
You can go and take a run and jump.
Good stuff, boys. Good stuff. Well, I'm looking forward to a nice game of golf at the Wisley on Thursday with my mate Richard Bland. If I take money off a European Tour winner, you will be hearing about it on the next podcast.
Yeah. He should have made the ride the top anyway. He shouldn't have.
Have a great week, boys, and look forward to chatting to you next week on the next episode of Where's Jeff?
Where's Jeff?